if I...
The words caught in his throat again, and he realized he was trembling. If I find my peace, perhaps I shall return to you and the baby.
I will be here waiting if you change your mind, she said,
then escorted him back to the hangar grotto. Akbar felt her watching him as he climbed back into the B-wing. He lifted the ship on its repulsor lift jets and turned to see her standing at the doorway. He flicked his running lights to signal her. Winter raised a hand and said goodbye. Then, with her other hand, she made Anakin's pudgy arm wave to him, too. Akbar's starfighter soared into space, leaving them behind. Back on Coruscant, Terpfen lay sick and shivering in his private quarters, trying with all his might to resist. But in the end, the organic circuitry inside what was left of his brain took over. Moving with forced steps, he descended to the dispatching and receiving network in the lower levels of the old Imperial Palace. No one watched him in the echoing crowded room as diplomatic droids and packages came in and left, streaking off to various embassies and spaceports on Coruscant, bearing important dispatches. Terpfen coded his secret message, summarizing information he had received from the hidden tracking device he had planted on Akbar's ship. He sealed the message inside a coffin-sized hyperspace courier tube and shielded the entire apparatus. He glanced around suspiciously before he keyed in Admiral Akbar's personal diplomatic security code, which would allow it to bypass all checks and tariff points. No one would have thought to revoke Akbar's access yet. The routing doors opened up at the far end of the center, and the silvery message canister rose on its launching fields. In a reflex action, Terpfen reached out, trying to grasp the slick sides of the canister, scraping with the sharp points of his hands. But the container rocketed out, picking up speed as it soared into the Coruscant sky. Terpfen had programmed 5 alternate routes to discourage tracking. The message canister would arrive unhindered and without delay at the Imperial Military Academy on Corita. The coded message would be displayed for the eyes of Ambassador Fergan only, divulging the location of the secret planet where the last Jedi baby was hidden. 12. You'll do just fine, kid, Han said, trying to maintain his roguish grin. Standing at the door of Han and Leia's quarters, Kip Duran nodded. Han noticed a faint trembling around the young man's lips.
I'll do my best, Han. You know that.
Suddenly unable to say another word, Han embraced Kip, silently cursing the stinging tears that rose to his eyes. You'll be the greatest Jedi ever. You'll give even Luke a run for his money.
I doubt that, Kip said.
He broke away and averted his face, but not before Han caught the shimmer of tears in his eyes, too. Wait, Han said. I've got something for you before you go. He ducked back inside and returned to the door with a soft package. Kip took it with a tentative smile and unwrapped the top layers of paper. Han watched the young man's expression. Kip reached into the package and withdrew a flowing black cape that glittered with subliminal reflective threads as if it had been woven out of a clear starry night. Lando gave it to me, feeling guilty about winning the Falcon, I guess, but I can't wear stuff like this. I want you to have it. You deserve something nice after all those years you spent in the dirty spice mines. Kip laughed.
You mean so I can dress up for all those formal occasions at the Jedi Academy?
His expression became serious.
Thanks, Han, for everything. But I've got to be going. General Antilles is escorting the Sun Crusher to Yavin, and I'll be going with him. He'll drop me off at Luke's Academy.
Good luck, Han said. Kip said,
I'm sorry you lost the Falcon.
Don't worry about it, Han said. She's a hunk of junk anyway.
You got that right.
Kip said with a smile, but both of them knew he didn't mean it. Want me to walk with you down to the hangar? Han asked, realizing as he said it that he wasn't sure he wanted to.
Nah, Kip said, turning away from the door. I hate long goodbyes. See you around.
Sure, kid, Han said. He watched Kip's back for a long time as the young man walked with a feigned bouncy step down the corridors to the turbo lift. Han thought about going back into his room, then decided he'd rather go for a drink instead. Leia was in yet another late-night council meeting with Mon Mothma, and the kids were already in bed, so Han left 3PO with instructions to remain powered up so he could babysit. Han eventually returned to the lounge
where he and Lando had played sabac for possession of the Falcon. The window looked out across the sweeping geometrical skyline of the rebuilt Imperial City. Towering metal and transparent steel pillars stretched to rarefied heights. Warning beacons and transmitting towers blinked in multicolored patterns as flying craft swooped on the updrafts between the tall buildings. At another table, a hammer-headed Ithorian ambassador sat by himself next to a small musical synthesizer. He hummed along with the atonal noises and plucked small leaves off a fresh, ferny-looking snack. A pug-faced Ugnaught chittered and played electronic dice with a well-groomed Ronaught. The bartender droid drifted from one table to another, attempting to be of service. Han soon lost himself in thought, wondering where he had come to, thinking about how much his life had changed since his years as a spice smuggler for Jabba the Hutt and then as a general in the Rebel Alliance. He continued to do important things with his life, but it just didn't seem as real anymore. He had enjoyed spending time with young Kip Duran. The young man reminded him so much of himself, and now Kip had gone off to become a Jedi just like Luke. "You're gonna miss the kid, aren't you?" a deep voice said. Han looked up to see Lando Calrissian standing over him with a big smile. "What are you doing here?" Han said grumpily. "I'm buying you a drink, old buddy," Lando said. He shoved forward one of the prissy, fruity concoctions, complete with bright tropical flower, that Han had bought Lando on the night of their sabacc game. Han scowled and accepted it. "Thanks a lot." He took a sip, grimaced, then took a gulp. Lando pulled up a chair. "I didn't invite you to sit down," Han said. "Look, Han," Lando said, adding a stern edge to his voice. "When you won the Falcon from me in a sabacc game, did I spend years pouting and not talking to you?" Han shrugged and looked up. "I don't know. I pretty much stayed away all those years." He paused, then added quickly, "And the next time we saw each other, you betrayed us to Darth Vader." "Hey, that wasn't my fault, and I'm more than made up for it since," Lando said. "Listen, I've got a deal for you. Next time you get a chance, why don't the both of us take the Falcon and go back to what's left of Kessel? Maybe we can find my old ship there. If we do, I'll gladly take the Lady Luck back, and you can have the Falcon." He held out his broad hand. "Deal?" Han grudgingly admitted that it was the best he could hope for. "All right, pal," he said, and shook Lando's hand. "Solo," a woman's sharp voice said. "They told me I'd find you here." "Can't a guy get some peace?" he said, and turned to see a trim, attractive woman standing at the lounge entrance. She had shoulder-length reddish-brown hair, the color of some exotic spice. Her features were finely chiseled, a narrow chin and a mouth that looked as if it had spent too many years frowning and was just now learning the shape of a smile. The shards of ice that were Mara Jade's eyes had warmed somewhat since the last time Han had seen her. Lando stood up, sweeping his cape behind him and extending his hand. "Well, hello. Please join us, Miss Jade. May I get you anything? We've met before, but I'm not sure you remember me. I'm..." "Shut up, Calrissian. I need to talk to Solo." Lando laughed and went to get her a drink anyway. Dark patches stood out on the shoulders and sleeves of Mara's flight jacket, as if it had once borne the insignia of military service. Mara Jade had been the Emperor's hand, a special servant to Palpatine himself, and she had seen her life crumble after his death. She had blamed Luke for that, and held a vendetta against him until recently. Now, after the retirement of the great smuggler, Talon Card, Mara seemed to become more open and ready to participate in broader events. She had managed a tenuous coalition of smugglers to help fight against Grand Admiral Thrawn, and she still maintained a loose alliance, even though some of the worst offenders, such as Laruth Duel on Kessel, refused to have anything to do with the New Republic and the Smugglers' Alliance. "What brings you back to Kuruskin, Mara?" Han said. Lando returned, bearing another one of his fruity drinks for her and a new one for himself. She looked at it, pointedly ignored it, and continued talking to Han. "I'm bringing a message. You can pass it on to the appropriate people. Your Imperial friend, Admiral Dalla, has been sending out feelers, trying to hire smugglers as spies and saboteurs. A few have taken the offer, but I don't expect many of them to trust Dalla after what she did to the forces of Kessel. Even though Maruth Duel wasn't part of our alliance, he was still a smuggler, and smugglers tend to stick together, especially against Imperials. Yes, Han said. We got the message that she had attacked one of the supply ships and destroyed it before it could get to Dantooine. Mara looked at him, and her gaze became hard again.
Haven't you heard what happened to your colony on Dantooine? Dala's already been there, you know.
What? Han said, and Lando echoed his surprise. A small group of New Republic engineers are setting up a communications base there, Han said, but we haven't contacted them in the last week or two.
Well, there's no need to, Mara said. Dantooine has been leveled. Every person in your colony and all of your New Republic engineers are dead, as of 2 days ago. Dala attacked with her 3 star destroyers and vanished again to wherever her hiding place is.
And so you came here just to give us this information, Han said, trying to recover from his shock. Mara took a long, slow drink of the cloying concoction that Lando seemed to be enjoying so much. She shrugged.
I have an agreement with the New Republic, and I keep my agreements.
As Han felt anger and shock starting to boil inside him at what Dala had done, Lando changed the subject. So where are you off to now, Miss Jade? He said. Leaning forward on the table, he seemed to be trying to melt her with his big brown eyes. Han rolled his. You're welcome to stay here for a while, Lando said. I'd be happy to show you some of the sights of the city. There's some beautiful views on top of the Grand Tower. Mara looked at him as if considering how much effort it was worth for her to answer his question.
I'll be leaving immediately, she said. I'm going to spend some time at Skywalker's Jedi Training Center. It makes good business sense to learn how to use my Jedi abilities, if only for self-protection.
Han sat up in surprise. You're going to learn from Luke? I thought you still hated Luke. You've tried to kill him often enough. Mara's eyes stared back as if ready to blaze through him. Then she softened and even smiled.
We've reconciled our differences. You might say we negotiated a truce.
She looked down at her drink but did not touch it.
For now, at least, she added,
and then smiled even more. She stood up to leave.
Thanks for your time, Solo.
She ignored Lando completely and walked out of the lounge. Lando watched Mara leave, admiring the slick, satiny gray fabric of her slacks and tight, padded flight shirt.
She sure has gotten beautiful.
Yeah, I hear that happens to most assassins once they retire, Han answered. Lando didn't seem to hear him.
How could I have missed her in Jabba the Hutt's throne room? She was there, and I was there, but I didn't notice her at all.
I was there too, Han said, and I didn't see her. Of course, I was frozen in a block of carbonite at the time.
I think she likes me, Lando said. Maybe I'll volunteer to take the next delivery of supplies to Yavin 4, just so I can see her.
Han shook his head. Lando, she wanted you to disappear. She didn't even acknowledge your presence.
Lando shrugged. Sometimes it just takes my charm a little longer to work.
He flashed one of his best lady killer smiles.
But when it does...
Oh, brother, Han said. He finished his drink and left Lando sitting there, daydreaming as his own drink sat unnoticed beside him. 13. The next night, Leia had just sat down to cherish a relaxing meal with her husband and her children when the summons from Mon Mothma arrived. As usual, she had been wrapped up in governmental proceedings all day. After the disaster on Vortex, she had been allowed no respite, and the pressure had increased as Mon Mothma withdrew further from her responsibilities, begging off the unimportant receptions and meetings, and sending Leia as her proxy. Living on the peaceful world of Alderaan, as the daughter of the powerful Senator Bail Organa, Leia had grown up surrounded by politics. She was used to the constant demands, the communiques arriving at all hours, the sudden emergencies, the whispered negotiations, and the forced smiles. She had chosen to follow in Senator Organa's footsteps, knowing full well the demands that would be made of her. But she treasured the scant, quiet times she managed to steal with Han and the twins. It seemed ages since she had been able to visit baby Anakin, though Han himself had accompanied Winter twice in the last 2 months. Tonight Leia had come home late, flustered and harried, but Han was there waiting with Jason and Jaina. They had held dinner for her, which 3PO had prepared as a test of his new and dubious gourmet programming at the food synthesizers. They sat down in the dining area, where illumination strips bathed the room in soft pink and peach colors. Han played the relaxing music of one of her favorite Alderaani composers, and they sat down to eat off fine imperial china taken from the late emperor's private stock. It was not intended to be a romantic dinner with 2.5-year-old twins banging their silverware and demanding constant attention, but Leia didn't mind. Han had done his best to commemorate dinner as a family. Leia smiled as 3PO delivered their meal, a very passable-looking grazer roulade, accompanied by skewers of spiced tubers and sweet marble berry fritters.
"I believe you will be quite impressed, Mistress Leia," the droid said, gently bowing and setting smaller plates in front of Jason and Jaina.
"Yuck," Jason said.
Jaina looked at her brother for confirmation, then said,
"I don't like this."
3PO straightened in indignation.
"Children, you have not even tasted the food. I insist that you sample your dinners."
Leia and Han looked at each other and smiled. Jason and Jaina both had bright eyes and well-defined features below thick, dark brown hair, just like their parents. The twins were extremely precocious, speaking in short but complete sentences, and amazing their parents with the concepts they had already managed to grasp and communicate. Jason and Jaina seemed to share a kind of psychic link, speaking in half sentences to each other, or somehow communicating in complete silence. This didn't surprise Leia. As Luke had told her, the Force was strong in their family. Han claimed that the two kids knew how to use their powers more than they admitted. He had found cabinet doors mysteriously unlocked after he had fastened them securely, and sometimes shiny baubles left on high shelves were suddenly found underfoot as if they had been played with. The food synthesizers, far out of reach, had once been reprogrammed to add a double portion of sweetening to all recipes, even the soup. Perplexed with the mysterious occurrences, 3PO had dug through diverse and obscure data records, insisting that the best explanation could be found in an ancient superstition of poltergeists. But Leia suspected it had more to do with small Jedi children. She took a bite of her thinly sliced, herb-crusted grazer. It smelled wonderfully nutty as the aroma curled up to her nose. It was tender and perfectly seasoned to counteract the pungent, unpleasant aftertaste often found in imported grazer filet. She considered complimenting 3PO, but decided that it would probably make the protocol droid altogether too pleased with himself.